stop talking. I think we're on the air. This is Winfrey, and this is our Monday night conference call. This is simulcast on BBS Radio. And you folks that are tuning in on BBS are also connected to the telephone line. And what we usually do is just have the people on the telephone line. Let me get my pencil out. Just a moment. Identify themselves and say hello. And I have a fairly interesting topic tonight. Controversial, but interesting. So, did I hear Terry on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
And who else is on the line?
Beth from El Segundo.
Hi, Beth.
Hey, hi, Wynn, and hi, Terry.
And who else?
Hi.
Jared from West Virginia.
California.
Wait a second, I missed that one.
Karen from West Virginia.
Oh, Karen in West Virginia.
Karen.
Okay. And who else?
Suzanne from Upper Arizona.
And who else?
Francis in Costa, California.
Okay. And who else?
In Tennessee.
Okay. And who else?
This is Donna in North Carolina.
And hi, Donna.
Hello.
And who else? Okay. You know, I announced yesterday that I was going to do a little explanation of how the negative works. And this is something which is fairly controversial information. And some of you probably have been exposed to David Icke. Have you guys heard of David Icke on the conference line?
I know about
David Icke. Yeah. And or Alex Jones. Who's heard of Alex Jones? Nobody. Good. David Icke is probably the most prominent person who talks about this stuff. And I've had some unusual experiences doing what I'm doing, and I've also had a lot of study of both, of course, David Wilcox channelings, Carla Ruckert's channelings, and my own channelings and asking questions about this. And I should say that when it comes to channeled information and you ask questions and you're dealing with group soul energies, and this is one of the really subtle things that is not obvious to someone who is first exposed to this. Let me mute everybody just a moment.
All callers are muted.
When you're dealing with group soul energies, it's not like channeling a discarnate entity, or even maybe what some people would call an ascended master, although I don't particularly gravitate towards that term or those channelings. You're dealing with an individual soul entity who's talking to you. Now, when you're talking to a group soul energy, it becomes rather hard to imagine that in human terms. And particularly when the energies seem to be saying that they can be as big as the galaxy. And part of that energy that's as big as a galaxy is actually contracting itself to be a voice to talk to you. I mean, it seems almost, first of all, impossible. It seems, how can that be? And far be it from me to be someone who can actually explain how that could be. And in fact, when I was first exposed to the concept of it, it was something that I had to consider for a long time, that that could be possible, and that there could be a group energy conglomerate that was huge that could speak to me. And what I learned over time, or what seemed to be true, is that group energy, when we were communicating on some level, I was becoming them and they were becoming me. And they were becoming Terry, which meant part of me was expanding. And as I was expanding, I was having an experience. Some of you that have been on the grid healings can feel yourselves what that feeling of expansion is like. And it's hard to put into words, because if somebody hasn't had that experience, then they don't have any reference point to even understand it with their mind. So it's a feeling of expansion. It's a connection beyond yourself. And suddenly that expanded energy has a voice and it's talking to you. So what's happening is, when you create an expansion of the energy like that for yourself and for the people around you, you could be thought of as creating a vortex, because a vortex is where an energy that comes in from a huge expansion is grounded into the earth, and that the people present can feel that. And the thing about opening up into an expanded energy is that by doing so, you're simultaneously opening up to all those energies where the negative resides. And this inherently is what has been the difficulty in expanding this realm and lifting the vibration of this realm by the positive group souls. Because in order to access them, there's a vortex created that opens to an expanded energy. And then once that energy is expanded and people around you are sharing in that expansion, then they've kind of learned how to do that. And if they have a negative intent, or if they have vulnerabilities in their own vortex, then they become now having to learn how to stay above the negative, because they have expanded through the realm of the negative. Now, if your intent is really pure, and if you stay in the space of the high group souls, you don't have anything to worry about. But historically, what's happened is that that does not occur. And by the very act of connecting to the positive, you also create doorways to the negative. Now, if you have read my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and if you have studied the Carla Rucker channelings, there's a lot of information in there about this. But some of it is not overt. You have to, figure out what you're looking for it to resonate. For example, the nature of evolution in this realm is to bring in, there's the idea that energy evolves your DNA. Loving energy evolves your DNA. And so the more of a loving state you're in, the more your DNA evolves. Now, what does DNA evolution mean? Humans have two strands out of 12 activated. And there are 12 strands. And the more strands that are activated, the more of an energy field you hold. So when we do our grid healings and we have a big expansion of energy, one of the things that's happening in the context of that is it is helping everyone's DNA strands to open up and reprogram oneself. Now, as I've learned to understand it, the DNA is a microcosm for the greater universe. So each of us, since each of us has the potential to be all that is or expand, let's say, expand into a greater matrix, expand ourselves into a higher matrix, the actual act of expanding into a higher matrix is kind of a back and forth space where you open up to energies and then your DNA starts to change, and the DNA starts to change and it helps you hold the openness to the energy, and then you open up to more energy. But this process doesn't happen like boom. It's a gradual, for most people, as far as I know, it doesn't happen like boom. It's a gradual process of reciprocal exchange that opens up the DNA. Now, why is the DNA only two strands when there's a potential for 12? And this is another interesting little piece of data. According to my channelings, according to a guy named Zachariah Sitchin, who is a Jewish scholar of ancient metaphysical Mesopotamia, ancient times, trying to figure out what... I haven't read him. I've just thumbed through him, but I know he's quite well known. And 4 million years ago, there was a circumstance where there was a group of people, sometimes called the Anunnaki, who were on Earth, and they were gold miners. And that humans were bred to be their slaves. And in the breeding process, there was an intention of creating only two strands of DNA because that would allow those people that had more strands activated to control the people with less strands. And you may notice today that what we call the elite make very good bosses. They take authority, and people tend to do what they say. And that's because they have more DNA strands activated, and they can utilize that to control others. So humans were bred to have only two strands of DNA activated to be slaves 4 million years ago. And the Anunnaki that did this, now I'm going to speak from a lot of information that I've integrated from many of my channelings, cross-referencing, and I would think I'm approximately accurate. But of course, when you're talking about these things, it's hard to create really good footnotes. So consider the possibility that this may be real. What happens would be Elohim would take incarnations in this realm, and when they came into this realm, they no longer knew they were Elohim. They just knew they had power, and they had a lot of control. So the Elohim that came into this realm millions or billions of years ago became the beginning of what we could call the negative elite, or the top of the chain. And they would keep reincarnating and create circumstances of enslaving others so that they could have an easy life, I guess. You have a bunch of slaves, things are easy. I remember in one of the Raw channelings through, I believe it was through Carla Ruckert, where they said, oftentimes the negative looks physically better than those who are service to others, the service to self, because they gather people around them to give them energy. And in the giving of them energy, like, for example, let's suppose you have a lot of money. Well, maybe you get massaged every day. Maybe you have a lot of lovers because people tend to give themselves over intimately to people that have power and money. So you have a lot of people paying you attention, not necessarily because they love you, but because you have something they want. And so they make the exchange that, obviously, getting a massage, you pay somebody $50 and you get a massage. So the guy who's giving the massage gets $50 and you get a massage. Well, that's great if you have the $50. And people look better after they get massages. They look more relaxed. Their shoulders are down. They breathe deeper. And they get a massage every day. They start looking really good. They go to all the finest doctors and chiropractors. And people without money don't have that option. So you can see that a service to self point of view can become very easily self-replicating, and that people who are seduced by power and money will easily give their energy to someone who has power and money. And so the difference between, and it's very subtle, service to self and service to other, is that you can still have the exchange, there can still be reciprocation, but the first cause has to be spirit. It can't just be for the money, or what's reciprocation. You give something to someone because I know you've all gone to a therapist or a doctor, and you felt the person really cared for you. They weren't just doing it for the money. And ultimately, if you're sensitive, you'll always know the difference. You'll always know when somebody's doing something just to make money or when they do it to care. And, of course, if the caring is there, then it's fine to have the exchange of money because everybody needs to take care of themselves. But if the care isn't there, then it's all about how do I get more customers, how do I get more business, and it's very subtle, the difference between the two. So now we have this self-perpetuating circumstance where we have humans who are slaves, and then there's the desire to evolve the humans. And now, I don't know exactly where the Ra group came into this. We're talking about 4 million years ago, and I don't have the data. If I would think the Ra, I don't know, I'd have to go look at the history of the Carla Ruckert channelings, but I think Ra might have been on Venus 4 million years ago and not actually evolved to their galactic space at this point. But in any case, somehow or another, some source on the other side said, we want to help humans evolve themselves. They're in a trapped circumstance. So now there's these very powerful beings that are wanting for the humans to be in a trapped circumstance. They want to control their energy and keep their DNA, but there's a lot of suffering going on. And so there's the compassionate beings that have graduated from this realm, not from Earth, but prior to that, trying to make inroads into helping humans. And so on our planet, I believe the Ra group is the major group that has done that. And in the lifetime as Ra-Ta, Edgar Cayce had a life as Ra-Ta, who was an Egyptian high priest, 10,500 years ago, approximately. And during the time that Ra-Ta was high priest, a number of things were going on. One of them was Atlantis was going down, and that a lot of Atlanteans, particularly Atlanteans who, you know, I remember reading this in Edgar Cayce years ago where it said that a lot of Atlanteans had come to Egypt because they knew Atlantis was going down. And I said to myself, how did they know? How could they know? Like, if they were dealing with a high force or a spiritual force, that spiritual force would have to get a huge amount of credibility with them in order for them to trust some source that said Atlantis is going down and it's time to leave. So I would imagine there were circumstances going on in Atlantis, maybe somewhat similar to this group, where there was a continuity of connection and trust that was built over a long enough period of time. So, for example, if I suddenly had a channeling and they said, you must get out of Los Angeles this Saturday, I would do it. Okay? I haven't, you know, whether something happened or not, I would leave just in case because I've developed enough rapport to think it might be true. And I'm sure all of you would have to think twice because everyone gets so grounded in the area they live in and in their home and in their jobs and in everything that it would take a lot to tell somebody you should move because something's going to happen in that area. And there is evidence that things could happen, and perhaps that information would come through us. I wished it wasn't, because I would prefer not to have the responsibility, because what if I'm wrong? And I don't. So that's the quandary that I would find myself in of having that information, and I would need to watch a very careful track record of predictions for areas before I would be willing to publicly say, I think you should leave this area at this point. So the Atlanteans somehow had someone that was giving enough credibility that they would take that action, and they left Atlantis, and many of them arrived in Egypt, and many of them arrived in South America, and they were welcomed by this Egyptian high priest who was also a former Atlantean, and that Egyptian high priest was Ra-Ta, who was also a previous lifetime of Edgar Cayce, according to Edgar Cayce's channelings. And, of course, now is David Wilcock. So here we have this high priest in Atlantis, and something is going on. And there were a lot of experiments of hybrid humans mated with animals, according to Edgar Cayce's readings. And this high priest was involved somehow in operations in taking these mutated hybrids and making them normal or semi-normalized. And another thing that was happening was the group Sol Ra was working very closely with this high priest, and there may have even been physical representations of the Ra group in this realm that were visible to humans. And they said there were. And so there were many people looking towards Ra, the Ra group, the high priest Ra-Ta, and this was looking like a bunch of miracles going on. And they built the pyramids. And the pyramids were built according to both Edgar Cayce and Carla Rucker by levitation, and that the Ra group was levitating the stones to make the pyramids. And if you read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, you also would have read that the pyramids are coded with huge amount of data within their dimensions. And the dimensions of the pyramid are connected to all kinds of measurements that the Egyptians should not have been able to know, like the circumference of the earth and the stars and all kinds of things. And according to Carla Rucker's channelings, the pyramids were essentially an instrument to raise the vibrations of people, and also a stargate to allow higher beings to move their energies into this realm. So whenever you have a vortex, you have an expansion of energies from this realm into the greater cosmos. And it works both ways. We reach up and they reach down, and it's the vortex energy that allows that to happen. And we create vortexes just by our coming together and having the intention to do so. And we do it on our Sunday, probably even just now. Just the fact that there's a number of people listening to this audio, and they're all over the world and on the conference line, and we're talking about things. We're actually invoking space when we're talking about it. It's not just intellectual. We're talking about group souls, and when we talk about them, the space expands. And when the space expands, there's a two-way back and forth transmission of energy possible. And so what happened in Egypt was there was a priesthood there that was watching what Ra-Ta was doing. And they were responding with envy. Like, who is this Ra-Ta, and why does he have all these powers? And why aren't we having them? Well, they were also picking up the expanded vortex, because the vortex was there for anyone, regardless of their polarity, whether they were service to self or service to others. And so this priesthood, or anyone else, was able to learn how to participate in that expanded vortex, but they did not connect with Ra, because their intent was power, and their intent was to control their constituency. So their vortex, in its expansion, became an opportunity to connect with what we call the negative in other realms. And there's huge negative holograms in other realms. And they were connected with the negative, and their connection with the negative became the beginning of the negative elite today and the secret societies. And if you study what we call the negative elite, you'll find meetings going on, initiations, Egyptian rituals, pyramids, and the negative elite create ceremonies to create vortexes so they can have connection with the negative sources in other realms. And so when one does this kind of work, and when one is sharing this idea and experience of expanding vortexes, then if I did not come up and share this with you also, I would be derelict, because when a negative source contacts somebody, they don't come in with horns and they don't announce that they're negative. They do their very best to mimic the positive and to trick you into following them. For example, in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, one of Edgar Cayce's most famous prophecies was a devastation prophecy, where he talked about California going into the sea, where he talked about Tokyo disappearing in the blink of an eye, and Europe going underwater, and it would happen very fast. Now, I remembered when I had studied Edgar Cayce many years ago that I had read that prophecy, and I, somewhere else in the Edgar Cayce readings, it said these changes would happen gradually. And I remember having the question, why is one prophecy saying they're going to happen in the blink of an eye, and another saying they're going to happen gradually? Well, through David Wilcock, there was another look at that prophecy. And, of course, you see how tricky it gets, because when it comes to channeling, and David is channeling, and you could say, well, how do we know the rebuttal is from a positive source? This is why you have to move into this and study it deeply, because you have to cross-reference and use all kinds of your own discernment levels. This is why you can't give up your power. Nobody, none of you can, because one of the most important lessons in this realm is learning discernment. And so part of what I'm teaching you or sharing with you now is some of the rules of how, well, some of the indications of how tricky it could be. Because what the Ra group said through David was that the source that gave that prophecy about the California earthquake and California disappearing in the sea was not them. It was a negative source. And that particular prophecy was put out for two reasons. One was to scare people in the future. And the other was to discredit Edgar Cayce down the line, because they said it would happen around the year 2000. And if it didn't happen, then Edgar Cayce would be less credible. And of course, as I see it, they were using the Edgar Cayce circumstance to build credibility. So when it would come in later, as through David Wilcock, they would get more attention for what they were doing. And so when I studied, after I read that in David Wilcock, I said, well, now, they said both David and Cayce were subject to negative channelings or negative groups coming through them or negative entities coming through. So when I read that, then you have to say, well, once you can't trust anything that comes through David or Cayce, then what do you go with? You have to go with your gut. There's that particular prophecy through Cayce had a byline, and it wasn't Casey's normal source. It was a different name. And I'm not going to say the name, because just talking about it is partially invoking them. So I don't want to give them any more attention by saying their name. But it was a different name than Cayce's normal source. And I then did a search on all the Cayce readings with that name. And of course, I think I went into this in great detail in the Egyptian connection, which I highly recommend. It's on the website messageaday.net. And if any of what I'm sharing with you now is clicking cellular resonances, then the Egyptian connection, which is 4 hours, goes into great depth of explaining this. But Casey's, the name of that source, when I did a search on it, I found a number of times when they had given, they'd come through Casey, and at one point they said that they were in the heavens as Jesus was to earth. In other words, they were the Christed energy in the heavens. Well, then I found that there was a study group that studied the Casey readings, and this was in the time of the readings, and then they would give advisement to Casey and his wife about what they thought. And they came up with the fact that they didn't trust this particular entity or that was speaking, and that they did not want him to come through, or they recommended that Casey did not allow this source to come through. And so that was it for that source. But throughout history of the Casey readings, since that time, this particular channeling is probably Casey's most famous channeling. And, you know, in the course of our own group, in the past few years, you know, we've been doing conference calls. And to give you an experience we had, there was a woman who started calling people in the conference call saying that she was talking to the Elohim and that they wanted her to do something without me knowing about it. And they were doing these private meetings. And it went on for a couple of months, and I didn't know about it. And they said they wanted to prove something to me, and the people kind of accepted that that was probably true and that she was talking to the Elohim. And when I found out about it, I actually did a channeling with both Daphne and Terry to figure it out, what this was. And in my channelings, it said this was not them. This was a source was trying to take over our group, and that damage control needed to be done. So, on the other hand, there's another guy. His name is Amadon, who I can't even remember how he got exposed to me. He either read my books or listened to a conference call or discovered my website, one of my websites. And his girlfriend started channeling the Elohim, or a voice that said they were the Elohim. You see, when a voice says there's something, how do you know they are who they say? I mean, the source through Casey said, I am in the heavens as Christ is to your planet. How in the world do you know how to know if that's true or not? That means, that's why Jesus said, by your works you shall be known. You cannot believe anybody because they claim it. You have to watch their works. You have to watch what happens to the people that get involved in their teachings. And over a period of time, everything reveals itself. But you can't make quick decisions on this stuff because you can't ever believe a claim that somebody is who they say they are because they say they are. And even with me, you know, I always, when we do channelings, I always consider very carefully, how do I trust that source? Is it consistent with previous things? Is it coherent? And I reevaluate. Because otherwise, as soon as I became a blind follower, then I could be taken over. And according to Carla Ruckert, you know, the kinds of questions you ask very much influence the potential for a negative source coming through. Like, the more specific the information is, the more chance it is. The more that I would say which I did ask at one time, and they wouldn't do it. Could you guys help me in the horse races? If someone helped me, I should probably have run the other way, because that would have hooked me into following a negative source and ruined the work we're doing. And, of course, that was years ago. So it's 6:41. Terry, are you on the line? Hello, Terry. Have we lost Terry? Hang on. Seth, I don't know. Am I on the air? God, I've lost my group. Uh-oh. Seth, are you listening? Now, this is Wynn, and I'm not sure if I'm on the air or if I'm not on the air. My cell phone says I am. Okay, if anyone's listening to me that knows my cell number, call me up so that I can see.
There are 12 participants in the conference.
You know what? I'm on. Suddenly something happened, and the indications are that I'm on. I can tell at least I'm on a conference call, so I'm assuming I'm on BBS. Okay. Just a moment. Okay, I thought I lost that because Terry didn't answer. Terry, are you on the line?
All callers are unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Okay, now I just unmuted everybody, okay? Let me open this up for Terry. Are you on this line?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes.
We're here. We're all here. You know what? Let me open this up. You know, I've opened up a pretty controversial topic here. And let me see if you guys have any questions that I can answer about that. Was that new information for any of you?
No.
You all knew that. Hello. Let me see if we're on the conference. Do we have a conference call going on right now? Everyone, when I say three, say yes. One, two, three.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. We're here. So you all knew that information.
Oh.
Terry?
Ah.
Where'd you go?
I was on mute, and I couldn't get unmuted, because when you mute everybody, then the moderator won't get unmuted.
You know, why don't you mute the way I told you, with the button at the top?
Oh, that's right.
Okay?
Okay. Right.
All right. Well, I was going to, I don't know if we have time now. Let me see. What time is it? It's, You know, we go for another, on BBS, we go for another 5 minutes, and I was going to ask some questions on this topic, but I don't think we have time. Were you listening to the topic? Did you follow what
yes.
I was talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a very, very important topic, and if I have it right, really understanding the dilemma that's been true for the higher forces in uplifting this realm. And that, you know, one of the things I internalized from the Ra group, from a channeling through Carla Ruckert, where you know, you have to read in between the lines because they don't say everything. And I try to read in between the lines, and I may be wrong when I'm reading in between the lines, but they talked about that over a period of time, their best way of involving themselves in this realm, in an interaction, was creating circumstances where people reach back, okay? And in another time, they said, we came to you in Christianity, but we don't speak in those terms because of the way that religion screwed it up. That's not, they didn't say religion screwed it up, but that's my paraphrase. And so, you know, I started to see that if somebody does bunches of miracles here, it just creates circumstances that create envy and jealousy from people that start tuning into the vortex and then tap into a negative source because their intent was not to be of the highest service. So that is one of, they said, you know, if people reach back, people are curious, it creates a connection with them. And miracles don't necessarily create a connection. Miracles create even an awe, a blind following, an envy. So they have to be careful with miracles. And I don't know what they would say. They probably wouldn't say. But if you went to Jesus and talked about all the miracles that happened with Jesus, I don't know what they would say about that now, because they probably wouldn't say, because for many, many people, the Jesus focus is working, and they wouldn't want to take that away from anybody by making comments on it. Now, I do know that what I said about David Wilcock and Rasha, I believe David has made a public statement, and that he's very aware of that. And if you notice in many of David's public presentations, he is focused on exposing the negative elite. And I think he's got feels a personal responsibility in doing that, because he was part of the, of course, in no way with any negative intention on his part. And no way with any negative intention on the rock group's part. This is why I say that the evolution of this realm is so challenging, and why this group is so special, because you guys are on the inside track of understanding something that very, very few people get to understand. And it's my contention that it's this kind of understanding that is keeps you with a very sharp level of discernment. So it's 6:49 at 6:50. We can disconnect from BBS. If you're listening on BBS and any of this was interesting, please go to messageaday.net, and you'll also find something there called the Egyptian Connection, which has got a list price of $19, and if you put in the discount code PyramidPower, it'll give you an immediate discount, so you get it for $12, and it's a lot of the information that I've been talking about here is going into in great detail on that. So we're going to say goodnight to BBS. And just a moment. I think what we'll do is call in the light and have a few minutes of silence. And Terry, if they want to say something, they can come in the silence. Otherwise, we can just go through it. No pressure. Okay? And are you in McDonald's?
No, I'm in the parking lot at
the house, the Academy house.
You are. You're at home. Okay. All right. So, let me see here. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy amongst all of us present on this line. And we invite those positive service to other sources to join our energies and create a protected space that only positive can access. And we'll take a few minutes of silence to let those energies connect. And if any of you have any prayers or things you're holding in the light or people you'd like to send the light to, you can do it now, silently, while this field is present.